The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood or of the desire of the flesh or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God testified about him. He cried out, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' For out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is close to the Father's side, has made him known." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first sentence of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis was written with two great objectives in mind. Moses speaks about two things more than anything else. He speaks about God, and he speaks about God's people. God created man. Man fell into sin. God called him out of darkness into the light. Some received the light, some did not. Abel believed, Cain did not. Noah believed, the rest of the world did not. Abraham believed, the rest of the world fell deeper and deeper into darkness. God blessed Abraham and his descendants. He was their God. They were his people. He was present among them, and he blessed them and fought for them. He made a mighty nation of them, and they lived for hundreds and hundreds of years in the land that God promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, is the first sentence of the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, is the first sentence of the Gospel of John. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that has been made. The Apostle John is obviously referring to the first book of the Bible by using the same words that Moses did. He also shows us something that we might not otherwise see as easily. He says that the Word was with God. By the use of the word Word, he's referring to the Son of God. And so the Word, the Son, was there in the beginning when God created. Now, how did God create? He spoke. He used words. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so the Word was there. The Son of God was there. We actually have the Trinity in just those first verses of Genesis. For God the Father was there, he's the creator, the Word was there, the one who spoke things into existence. The Holy Spirit was also there, for Moses says, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. The triune God created all things, and without the Trinity, nothing was made. There's one God, one creator. He has universal significance. The Apostle John has something to say about this God as it has been shown to him in Jesus Christ. That is why he's writing his gospel. What is of great importance to God is his relationship with man. Remember that I said Moses had two objectives in Genesis. He wanted to speak about God, and he wanted to speak about God's people. The same is true here with John in his gospel. He says that John the Baptist came telling people about the Word, the light that has come into the world in Jesus, born of Mary. But these people who were descendants of the people of God did not receive him. But, the Apostle John says, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, or of the desire of the flesh, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Here we are introduced to a peculiar nation, a peculiar tribe, a peculiar family. The families that we know of are the ones that are produced through the desire of the flesh and the will of a husband. Father and mother come together, and children are born. One generation follows another, and if God so wills it, they might increase greatly in number. This is what God says to Abraham, as you might remember. He says, look at the stars. Try to number them, if you can. That's how many descendants you'll have. A little side note here, by the way, even with all our technology, our scientists still have not been able to number all the stars. The further they look into the heavens, the more stars they see. God directs Abraham also to the sand of the seashore. Look at those grains of sand. Count them if you can. That's how your descendants will be. But just as the Apostle John has shown us some things that we might not otherwise see with the opening words of Genesis, namely, that it's the triune God who created the earth, so also he might be filling us in on something here too. The true descendants of Abraham, the true children of God, are not those of the flesh. It's not a matter of genetics or family lineage. It's a matter of faith, which is given according to the will of God. The history of the Old Testament also confirms this. To be sure, the vast majority of believers were blood descendants of Abraham, but not all of them. There was always a trickle of Gentiles, a trickle of people from other nations who also came to faith. Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho, came to faith. In fact, she's in the family line from which Jesus was born. At the time of Solomon, the Queen Sheba came from Africa to visit him, and when she went back, it appears that there was a congregation that began to call on the name of the Lord in what is today Ethiopia. There are other examples we could mention too, but this is enough to show that John is teaching us what it means to be a child of God. It has always been a matter of faith in the God who promises salvation. Adam and Eve believed that they were reconciled to God, though they were sinners, by what God said. Abel believed, Cain did not. Abel was a child of God, Cain remained a child of the devil, which we all are by nature since the fall into sin. The religion of Christianity was not invented at the time of Jesus, the God who was there at the beginning is the same God that is now and ever shall be. The way that people were children of God then, namely by faith, is the same way that people are children of God now. So did nothing change with Jesus? Did everything just carry on like it always had? No. As the Apostle John himself tells us, with Jesus something tremendous happens. The Word which was in the beginning and was God has been made man. The Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelled among us. The promise made in the Garden of Eden was brought to a fulfillment. Because God loved each one of us individually and every individual who has ever lived, He wished to save us from our slavery to the serpent, which we brought upon ourselves. He sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us who were guilty according to that law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Though the serpent sunk his fangs into the heel of Jesus on the cross so that he died, the serpent himself was undone by that action. In Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. Now, by faith, we may call upon God as our dear Father. We may walk with Him and talk with Him like Adam and Eve did before they sinned. We are urged to do just that, having a good conscience by the blood of Jesus that purifies us from our sins. Because we still have our sinful flesh, however, this is a great struggle to believe and do. The hardest of all works that we do is prayer. None of us do it as we would like to be able to. But this will change one day too. We will not always walk by faith. One day we will walk by sight, and our sinful flesh will be purified through the resurrection from the dead. Then we will know the full splendor of what it is to be a child of God. In Jesus, the fullness of God's will toward us is revealed. In Jesus, the fullness of God's salvation is worked out by Jesus' death and resurrection. And so certainly things do not just carry on like they always have with the coming of God's Son into the flesh. And yet, on the other hand, there is a carrying on of things as they always have been. God blessed the people of the Old Testament with His Word. They believed it. Through that faith, they were justified and children of God. Now the Word of God has come to you. You are hearing it, are you not? You believe that Jesus is the Savior who was born for you, do you not? Then you are children of God. God has chosen you from before the foundation of the world to know and love Jesus and to live together with Him forever. Just as God loved and protected Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the people of God that we read about in the Bible, so He also loves you and will protect you. And so it is a great blessing that God has brought it about that you should hear His promises. God keeps His promises, for He is not a liar like us. And He dwells among us. He tabernacles among us, as the Apostle John says. Today we will know that in a special way. In order that we may believe His promises more firmly, He gives us the very body and blood that was sacrificed on the cross for our redemption. That very body and blood He gives us to eat and to drink. I can't imagine a more forceful way for God to say to you, that you are redeemed from all your sin. You are a child of God, and God loves you. Let us, therefore, this Christmas morning receive this pledge and seal of our salvation with thanksgiving to our God for making us his children. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.